I want to thank the fine group here this morning for serving us. Praise the Lord. I told, shared up Eric's, Dory. Where's Dory? Where's Dory? Are you here, Dory? Is in the back there somewhere? I shared, you know, all the other ministries in the kingdom of God. You know, prophecy one day will stop. Mission work will stop. Teaching will be stopping. Evangelism will stop. But guess what will not stop? Worship. That will not stop. That will go on forever. So you're in the right, I'm just saying, you guys are in the right, you know, right there where you need to be. Praise the Lord. All of us, you want to be worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, well, we got about 10 minutes to go. So we'll see how we do. I guess already, you know, you have an outline in the bulletin there this morning. It probably, we won't go all the way through there. So we're going to do a little bit of it. So let's just kind of give it an introduction here. My question is, really, do we all agree that there is a need in the church to impact, or there is in us, or we are here to impact society? Who does agree? We are here to impact society. Do we agree that there is a need for people in the church to be genuine? Everybody agrees? I mean, it does help zero if we are all, a bunch of fake Christians, right? We gotta be genuine. Otherwise, people will not believe us. Is that true? Now, do we agree that there is a need in the church or for the society out there for us to show power? Can we be powerless as a Christian in this world? And will we do any? Will we make any difference? Zero difference. Unless we are empowered. People, you know, back in the Old Testament or back in the New Testament, everywhere, when people, or when pastors, or when preachers, or when apostles, or when disciples, when they showed power, they got a crowd around them. Just saying. They had followers. Where in the world did you get this? How in the world did you get this power? Where? How did you get it from? So when Pastor John this morning was saying, well, you know, the housewives need a break and the men need a remote control. But then, of course, he went a little deeper. We all need love. And I would add to that, we all need the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit, otherwise we will not make it as a Christian in this world. Jesus said, you know, I'm eager to go to heaven because as soon as I go, I can send somebody that's going to be with you forever until I come back. Now, the Holy Spirit. So, we also know that the bottom line is that the word needs to go out. The word of the gospel needs to go out. It cannot stay inside the church only. Somehow it needs to spill out, spill over, spill into the shopping centers, spill into the banks, spill into the job place, spill into everywhere we are, in our own homes sometimes. We have a lack of the word of God. Or we don't pray. Well, we kind of make it without praying, without searching. And I tell you, I wrote it down here, Satan, he is satisfied with our religious activities. As long as it does not move us to the outside walls of the church to rescue the perishing. He will agree, he will be okay with you and me if we do just that. If you stick around and kind of just being a good sort of Christian, medium Christian. And some people, you know, they went a little deeper. They went, you know, mediocre Christian. Like a medium size, medium level, just the basics. Because he knows, well, if you are not a very strong, empowered, encouraged, and passionate Christian, guess what? He doesn't fear you. You are not scaring him away a bit. Simply because he knows, well, that's going to be, he's just going to be sitting there. He won't do anything, so I don't need to worry about him. But we also know that at the very moment we get engaged or encouraged, or I mean filled with the Holy Spirit, the devil gets his hair up. He says, well, what now? What now? What's I'm going to do now? What's going to happen to me now? Now I will have to do so. Now then he calls all whatever demons and stuff and tries to stop you. Well, guess what? The Lord said, you can't be stopped. Amen? Praise the Lord. So let me read from Acts chapter 8, verses 1 to 8. See, we talked about last Sunday here about Stephen being filled with the Holy Spirit. And they had just killed him. They stoned him, but guess what? He was full of the Holy Spirit until the very end. In fact, people looked at him and they saw him and he was shining. People look, wow, look at that face. I mean, he was getting stones on his head, breaking his skull, but he was rejoicing, filled with joy and smiling, and the glory of God was on him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. But the text says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. And he went from house to house. He dragged off men and women and put them in prison. But those who had been scattered preached. Now let me stop right there. Why in the world would a group of people, first of all scared because they had just become Christians and they were persecuted. The first thing they did, okay, well, let's run. But they ran in the right direction. They ran with their thing in mind, you know, as soon as we get some type of stop in any village, here's what we're going to do. We're going to preach. What in the world is going on? They were running for their lives. But the Holy Spirit kicked them a little further. Okay, once you stop at a little village here, what you do? You preach. For crying out loud, you preach. You share it. They didn't even ask the Lord the question. Hey, I mean, they were not even scared. They had to run because they wanted to live so that they could what? Preach. And what led them to preach? Who was that one individual that was in them, pushing them to preach? Starts with an H, ends with a T. What does it mean? The Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will leave. And in fact, I want to rush up. Not just because I want to meet my dad and give him a big hug up there. I want to go so that as soon as I go, I can send somebody that will be with us forever. And it happens to be the Holy Spirit. Now, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. I just read it in Genesis. The Spirit of God hovered, whatever it is, over the waters. He went over, he was with God at the time of creation. Now that tells me something. For those who are creationists, which I hope everybody, not everybody's a creationist here, but those who are studying creation and all that, the first thing the Spirit of God was traveling around in a big open place, and then he started to form planet Earth and all the other things. So the Holy Spirit is God. Let's remember that. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now let's think a little bit about this. We know that the Holy Spirit leads to people to preach, which is the main thing. You know, it is about the preaching, about the announcing, about sharing the deepest thoughts of God. To whom? To the generation around us that is lost. Now you and I, we know that the Holy Spirit does more than that. The Holy Spirit leads you to sing and to worship and to be excited and to be encouraged and to help you and to be a counselor. And, we have it all there in the list. There's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does. You know, he is an advocate. The Holy Spirit defends you. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. Things you don't know. You read the scripture, and then you scratch your head and you don't get it. It's when the Holy Spirit kicks in. And he tells you what that means. So he is a teacher. So don't try not to skip over a text. Happened to me. I'm guilty as charged. Sometimes we read a text and we skip it over because we understand the next one. We didn't understand this one. So we just skip over. But guess what? The Holy Spirit actually wants to teach us the word. He has all the patience in the world. You know, take your time. We are on a rush time. Oh, you know, but see, it's 12 o'clock. I got to stop already. But here's the thing. The Holy Spirit teaches us the word. He opens up the secrets of God. The pearls hidden in the word. Who does that? The Holy Spirit does the teaching. So he's a teacher. Well, the Holy Spirit is also a convictor. Now we know that. Concerning sin, we read it's verse 8. He will convict the world. John 16, verses 8. Concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. You don't want to go too much into that today, but maybe talk about it maybe the next Sunday. Or not the next Sunday. Next Sunday, Mark, Matt, you're going to be preaching, right? Good. I'm going to sitting right there, man. You just give her. Praise the Lord. Anyway, he will convict. He will somehow, convict the world of sin, of righteousness, because Jesus Christ, he was righteous, and as soon as he is gone, you know, somehow the people that did not believe remain in their sin. They're talking about sin. Faith in Christ is the only way to be freed from sin, and the Spirit convinces people. That's what he does. So he is the convincer. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. Well, Jesus is talking about his righteousness. When he was on earth, Jesus lived a perfect, righteous life. He was without sin, and when he went away, man no longer had this visible example because Jesus has gone away. So the Spirit now persuades man of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So we don't see Jesus personally walking here with us. We know he is with us because he promised, but he's in the Spirit. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. You see, the devil was judged and defeated on the cross. Because of this judgment of the devil, the Holy Spirit will speak convincingly about judgment. It's like saying, do you want to still follow this guy even knowing he has been judged? See, the Holy Spirit let you know. Because, you know, as a natural man, we serve the devil, believe it or not. You might think, no, I'm a good person. ain't help you very much. As a natural person, we would be all going straight to the pit of hell. And some of us, until we were convinced and convicted by our sin, we were thinking, well, we are doing the right thing. We are good people. We don't even have to be born again. The way it is, it's all good. But guess what? It's not. And in that, we were following the devil. Now, Jesus on the cross, he defeated the devil. And the Holy Spirit is now here telling us, hey, you want to continue on serving the devil? You want to continue on doing what you did? Following a loser? Don't do it. So he's there bugging, you know, insisting with you. Change your life. It's time. The devil is a loser. So he is also the empowerer. The Holy Spirit is the empowerer. Acts 1:8. Because you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses everywhere, all the way from Jerusalem to Markham, Ontario, passing through Brazil and Saskatchewan. Hallelujah. And everywhere else, he is the empowerer. He is also the sanctifier. See, the Holy Spirit sanctifies you. He purifies you. You know, he wants to, you know, he points out your dark spots. You got some dark spot, some preferred or some favorite sin? Well, the Holy Spirit, he will point out to you, hey, there is a little spot. If you want to follow your Father, your Savior, fully sanctified, he will ask you, sanctify yourself. Purify yourself. And go to the extremes with sanctifying yourself. And it's a half and half, half, you know, doesn't work. Or you are, or you don't. Or you are a follower, or you are half, 1 foot here and 1 foot in the world, 1 foot serving the Lord, the other foot serving the loser. Doesn't work. Or we are, or we are not. So the Holy Spirit, he does that. He sanctifies that. He points out the whole how we should live. Now those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria, and he proclaimed the Christ there. Verse 6, and when the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, guess what? The text says here, not me saying, the text is saying, they all paid attention. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. And with shrieks, evil spirits came out. Why? Why would they come out? Because they were scared to death. These demons that were kind of settling or had settled in the area or even in the hearts of people in the area, as they saw the power of Philip, as they saw the miraculous signs, as they saw the boldness in the preaching, the demons ran for their lives back to hell. They all paid close attention to what he said. And with shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in Markham, or in that city. You know, one thing I would like to see in this place is a lot of joy. I mean, I want to see joy. I want to see people smiling. I want to see people rejoicing. I want to see, man, you have no idea what happened to me. There was this Christian guy from a church called Markham Missionary Church. He came to me. He talked to me about the Lord. And, you know, something got into him. He started to pray. And guess what? My finances were restored. My mother-in-law, who was sick in the hospital, came home. I was healed. And you name it. Now, that's going to get exciting, I tell you. But it happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. It does not happen through the regular Christian guy. Well, yes. But if that regular Christian guy is filled with the Holy Spirit, it's when things happen. So it happens through the extraordinary people of God. And I want to believe that you and I are part of that team. I believe that just as the Holy Spirit had power over the disciples at that time, it still has the same. Well, he has, and I call him he. It's not just an it, a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. You can say, good morning, Holy Spirit, how are you doing today? Nice to meet you, nice to see you. I hope you walk with me today. So the Holy Spirit is God, and we got to consider him that way. And we got to treat him that way. He's nice. And he loves you. And he, you know, if he had some more freedom in your life, you would not believe what you were able to do. I tell you. Okay, this was the introduction. So, but we're going to leave it at the introduction today. But I want to pray as the group comes up here, and we encourage you to come up kind of as you get ready here. And you want to search the Lord. And I want you to, you know, remain seated. I want you to hold your hands on your lap, open hands like this. Because you're going to pray that the Holy Spirit would come on you. If you don't want him to come, just put your hands down and just hold it like that. No, I don't want him to come. But if you want him to come, you open up your hands. And you mix faith. You mix faith in this prayer. And the Holy Spirit will give you an extra boost this week. And he wants to encourage you to walk in the power and the holiness of his presence and bring much fruit. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm pretty sure you remember, Lord, when you said that you would want to go up to heaven. And when you went, as you went, you said, I'm going to send the counselor. I'm going to send the one that's going to help you be the advocate, the teacher, the convincer and the convictor. And Lord, we know you did send the Holy Spirit. He is here with us now. Lord, I also remember you saying that in the latter days, you would be all baptized in the Holy Spirit. You would be all filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we do pray that we would receive the Holy Spirit now. If we have been closed to the Holy Spirit, if for some reason we have not given him a chance to use us, we ask you this morning, forgive us. Lord, if we have tried to be a Christian without the Holy Spirit, please forgive us. We repent Lord, I'm sorry. But this morning, Lord Jesus, we want to ask you, would you send the Holy Spirit to us? Would you fill us again with your presence, with your power? Because on the day we did believe on you, Lord, we did receive the Spirit. But Lord, from all the people we heard in the New Testament, whenever the Holy Spirit came, there was a move of power. There was a transformation taking place. Because the Holy Spirit fell on people, and they were rushing out and moving along and healing and making noise, worshiping you, Lord, with a new song in their hearts. So, Lord, this morning we do pray that all of us that are standing with our hands open, we pray, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would come on us. We need the wisdom. We need lots of wisdom in this world, Lord. We need your power. We need your anointing. We need your presence. We need your thoughts. We need you to teach us the word. We need the passion, the encouragement. Oh, Lord, this morning we pray for especially also for those who are not here, for those who maybe are traveling, for our pastors, Lord, of the Markham Missionary Church, and for all the other pastors around North America and South America, Europe and Asia. We do pray, Lord Jesus, that all the leaders would be filled with the Holy Spirit, because there is no more time to just sit and be a listener and eventually a complainer. Lord, it is time, Lord, for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we pray, fill us, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, come to this place. Come to the Markham Missionary Church. Come to the Markham or the Missionary Church of Canada. Come to every single church, every single denomination. Come to our house, Holy Spirit. Come to our families. Fill us, Lord Jesus. Fill us. We are desperate. We need you, Lord. And we want to thank you that by faith, our life has changed. By faith, we have received the Holy Spirit. By faith, we have the power to change this world. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that a new chapter, a new beginning for the Markham Missionary Church. We praise you, Lord Jesus. And we give you the honor, Lord, when you fill us with all kinds of different gifts, we pray, Lord Jesus, that we would use these gifts and not put them on a shelf. Use the gifts, but for your glory and for your honor, not for us. For the benefit of others, for the benefit of our fellow believers, for the benefit of those who are lost in this world, our neighbors, our friends, our family. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord. Put your heart in the worship this morning. Sing with all your heart. In Jesus' name.